Hey, this is Brian Zond, and I'm glad that you're interested in the podcast. You know, it's a free podcast, and it'll always be that way. But if you would like to give and help us out, that would be awesome, deeply appreciated. If you want to do that, you can do that through the Word of Life website or through the Word of Life mobile app. Anyway, God bless you. I hope you enjoy the podcast. When God gave Israel the law through Moses on Mount Sinai, he also gave them a calendar, a sacred calendar. Like the law, Israel's calendar was designed to form Israel into a holy people. That is, a people set apart, a people who are other, a people who are distinct and different, belonging to God. And so in the sacred calendar that God gave Israel when he gave the law, you have the weekly Sabbath. You have the annual festivals. You have the sabbatical years. And you have the year of Jubilee. Jubilee came every 50th year. So more or less once in a lifetime. Every 50 years, on the Day of Atonement, on Yom Kippur, the silver trumpet would sound, and with the sounding of the silver trumpet, three things would happen. Number one, debts were canceled. Did I hear a yes? Amen. Number two, slaves were released. Amen. Hallelujah. Number three, property inheritance was restored. This is the Jubilee. It was liberty from debt, slavery, and eviction. It was, in fact, a giant reset button. Over the course of 50 years, you have winners and losers and people on the top and people tumbling to the bottom. But every 50 years, boink, reset button. This is a radical thing. Think about this. This Jubilee is a radical thing. I mean, who does anything like this? And yet this was part of what God gave to Israel at Sinai to form them into his peculiar, distinct, and holy people. Now, why does God do this? Why does he give in their calendar the Jubilee every 50 years where debts are canceled, slaves are released, and property inheritance is restored? Well, God gives it because he wants among his people for there to be no permanent elite and no permanent underclass. Think about the game of Monopoly. You've probably played that once or twice in your life, which as far as I'm concerned is enough. But perhaps, you know, you've played that game and you know how it works. And there's four of you, let's say, and you play this long game and Park Avenue and all of that business. And then somebody wins. Game over. Suppose, though, that a week later somebody says, hey, let's play that game again. So the four of you sit down. What if the former winner says, all right, we're going to start from where we left off? Well, then he's going to win forever. And nobody else is ever going to have a chance. And God says, I don't want that kind of monopoly among my people. Because the two great commandments in my government among my people is that you love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you prove it by loving your neighbor as yourself. And monopoly is not love. Now, we don't know how long Israel practiced Jubilee, but we know that it did eventually fall into disuse. I can imagine it probably had something to do with the powers that be, who decided that wasn't advantageous to them maintaining their positions of power, and said, we're going to skip it this time around. And since they were in power, no one could do anything about it. But during the time that Israel was in exile, the prophet said, part of the reason that the judgment of God came upon us is we did not observe these kind of things in our calendars. And then the prophets, and I'm thinking about Isaiah especially, began to prophesy that someday a spirit-anointed person would come, that is Messiah, who would bring with him the restoration of the Jubilee. Yes, 900 years after the giving of the sacred calendar at Mount Sinai, Isaiah prophesies that a spirit-anointed person, that is Messiah, will come and announce good news for the poor, liberty for captives, the year of God's favor. Messiah will come and announce Jubilee. And now we go 600 years further, 600 years beyond Isaiah, and Jesus of Nazareth has gone to the River Jordan to hear the preaching of John. He's been baptized. He then goes into the wilderness, 40 days of prayer and fasting and testing. He comes back from his wilderness temptation in the power of the Spirit, and he begins his ministry in Galilee. First in Capernaum and then some other places. And now he's coming home. Jesus of Nazareth is coming home to Nazareth. And there's a lot of anticipation. As was his custom, he comes into the synagogue on the Sabbath. And they invite him to do the scripture reading that Sabbath. And he's given the scroll of Isaiah, and he finds chapter 61, and this is what he reads. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolls up the scroll. Luke is very dramatic in how he tells this part to us. Luke's an artist. And so everything slows down. We see every little detail. And Jesus rolls the scroll back up. And he gives it back to the attendant. Jesus returns to his seat. He sits down, and the eyes of everyone in the synagogue are on him. And then he speaks. The first words recorded by Luke of Christ once he has begun his ministry, once he's been baptized in the Spirit and gone into the wilderness and come back from the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. These are the first words of Christ in Luke's gospel. And then he says, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Today. Not someday. Not it's getting close, folks. Not it won't be much longer now, but today. This prophecy of the restoration of Jubilee from Isaiah is fulfilled in your hearing. What is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying that he is Isaiah's spirit-anointed Messiah who announces Jubilee. Jesus is announcing the liberty, the amnesty, the healing, the restoration of Jubilee. Remember, all of Jesus' ministry is an announcement, an enactment, and an establishment of God's kingdom on earth. And what do we mean by kingdom of God? We mean the reign of God, the rule of God, the government of God, the politics of God comes from heaven into earth. The kingdom that Jesus announces, enacts, and establishes around himself is God's long-awaited, life-affirming, soul-saving, alternative arrangement for human society. It is the arrival of what Jesus calls abundant life. today, Jesus says. You see, through the prophets in the Old Testament, God made promises to Israel and, in fact, to the whole world. Promises like a merciful kingdom where sins are forgiven and transgressions are pardoned. Jeremiah especially talked about that. Promises of a peaceable kingdom where war is abolished and peace prevails. They shall beat swords into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks and tanks into tractors and missile silos into grain silos, and they shall study war no more, says Isaiah and Micah. Promises of a just kingdom where the strong no longer exploit the weak. The lion will lay down with the lamb. The calf with the leopard. The little child shall play by the cobra's hole and suffer no harm. Promises of a generous kingdom where the poor no longer suffer want, because every person will sit under their own fig tree. Promises of a gracious kingdom where God's favor is extended to all, because the glory of Yahweh will cover the world as the waters cover the sea. Promises of a healing kingdom where human well-being can flourish. Well, the lifespan will exceed 100 years, Isaiah prophesies. Promises of a new creation where death is finally overcome by resurrection. This is what the Hebrew prophet said over and over was promised by God. And here's what the apostle Paul says about these promises. For in Christ, every one of God's promises is a yes. For this reason, it is through him that we say the amen to the glory of God. I love that verse. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For in Christ, every one of God's promises is. For this reason, it is through him that we say the amen. Look, if you have never amened a sermon in your life, brother, today is your day. For in Christ, every one of God's promises is a. Yes. For this reason, it is through him that we say the.
Amen.
To the glory of God. See, the Father, Father God, through the prophets, made promises of the arrival of a life-affirming kingdom. One not built on death. Cain built his kingdom on death. God says, that's not going to work. That's just going to hurt people. And through the prophets, God promised the eventual arrival of a life-affirming kingdom. Jesus is the yes fulfillment of every one of these promises. And he fulfills them through his birth, his life, his ministry, his teaching, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension. He's the yes to all of those. And then the Spirit moves us in his church to say amen to the yes of Jesus. So you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Father makes the promise. The Spirit, the Son is the yes fulfillment of that. And the Spirit moves us to say amen. Amen. Jesus is the yes to God's promise of a Jubilee kingdom. And when Jesus says yes to the Father's promise of a Jubilee kingdom, what do we say? Oh, wait a minute. Slow down here. Maybe someday. I mean, I need the details. Got to read the fine print. How's this going to work? Who's going to pay for it? I don't know. No, when Jesus says yes to God's promise of a Jubilee kingdom, we say amen. I mean, we may not understand it all. We don't know all the details. We don't understand exactly how it's going to work. But we know that when Jesus says yes, we don't say, wait a minute. When Jesus says yes, we don't say, let's think about it. When Jesus says yes, we don't say, well, you know, I got to have all the details here. When Jesus says yes, we just say, amen. What else are you going to say? We are believers. We believe in Jesus. Our faith is not in the details of the plan, because we don't even know what that is. Our faith is in Jesus. God makes the promise. Jesus says yes. Spirit moves us to say, amen. You know where that word comes from, don't you? That's a big word in the Bible. It's the last word of the Bible. But here's the first time it shows up. All the way back in Genesis 15. Abraham is living in tents with his wife Sarah. God has made a promise to Abraham that his descendants will bless all the families of the earth. Abraham has obeyed the call of God to leave Ur of the Chaldees, and he has now journeyed and is now sojourning in the land of Canaan near Hebron. But many years have gone by, and there's still no children. Abraham is an old man. Sarah is an old woman. The promise was children, they have none. One night, God speaks to Abraham in his tent and says, "Hey, Abraham, come outside. I want to show you something." And Abraham comes outside his tent in the dead of night, and God says, "Look at the stars, Abraham. I don't know if you've ever seen stars in the desert on a clear night, far from any city lights, but oh, you will see stars. And there beneath the canopy of stars, God says, 'Abraham, can you count the stars?' And Abraham says, 'I'll give it a shot. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Oh, God, there's too many. I can't count the stars. There's too many. And God says, "And so shall your descendants be. As the stars of the heaven and as the sand of the sea, so shall your descendants be." And Abraham believed God. And God said, "That's right." It was accounted to him as right. But what it actually says is that Abraham amon God. In other words, when God shows Abraham the stars and says, "So shall your seed be," Abraham does not say, "Well, you know, I'm an old man. Sarah's an old woman and her biological clock just done run out. I don't know. Doesn't seem too feasible to me. We got some new kind of technology or something? This comes from the in vitro fertilization program you got going here, God? That doesn't make any sense to me." Abraham doesn't do any of that. He just says, "Amen." He doesn't understand the details. He doesn't know how it's going to work. When God says, "Stars, seed shall be," he says, "Amen." It's not uttered from his intellect. He doesn't have it all figured out. He hasn't connected all the dots. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And when God says, "So shall your seed be," he does nothing other than say, "Amen." And God said, "That's right. That's right. You're right." When Jesus says in the synagogue of Nazareth, after reading Isaiah 61, "Today is the fulfillment of God's promise of Jubilee," we say, "Amen." We don't rationalize or try to figure out how this. We don't know. I mean, that may come, but eventually, the first thing we say when Jesus says, "Today is the day that the promise of Jubilee is coming to pass," we say, "Amen." And then, having said our amen, we try to live our way into that amen. We say amen first, and then we try to live our way into it. See, that's what baptism is, and that's what the baptized do. We just confessed our faith. It is a late first century, early second century baptismal creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. And we go all the way through what we believe about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then we say amen, and then we're baptized. We say amen to God's promise. We say amen to Jesus who says yes. We say amen as the Spirit moves us, and we're baptized into that. And now we become the community of the amen. We are those who, beyond intellect, beyond rationale, beyond what we can understand, have said amen to what God has fulfilled in Christ. And then, having said amen and been baptized into that, we seek to live our way into it. We live into it by being, well, let me not be in such a hurry. Yes, we are going to try to work some of this out. But we don't even begin to work it out until we say amen to it and we're baptized into it. God makes promises. Jesus is God's yes to every promise He's ever made. And we say amen, and we're baptized into that. And then we try to live into it. I would suggest it begins real simply. We try to live into God's jubilee in Jesus by being a jubilee to those around us. See, the thing is, Jesus, wherever Jesus goes, there's jubilee. He just carries it with Him. It's no longer a year, it's a person. It's no longer every 50th year. Jubilee is now centered in a person. And where He goes, sins are forgiven, debts are canceled, people enslaved are set free, the blind see, everybody's receiving. Just everywhere He goes, it's just jubilee, it's jubilee. He's in Capernaum, jubilee's in Capernaum. He's in Nazareth, jubilee's in Nazareth. He's in Jerusalem, jubilee has come to Jerusalem. Now, we seek to live our way into that as the baptized who say amen to the yes promise of God fulfilled in Christ by being a jubilee to those around us. In the name of Jesus, we offer pardon and peace and generosity. Again, from 2 Corinthians. For God says, in the time of My favor, I heard you. In the day of salvation, I helped you. Now is the time of God's favor. Today is the day of salvation. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 When is God's jubilee of amnesty, pardon, peace, restoration, and healing? Now. Today. Jesus says yes to jubilee, and we say amen. Amen. By faith in Jesus, we receive jubilee and give jubilee. Yes. Do you see how this works? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, formed man of the dust of the earth, breathed into him, became a living soul, Adam and Eve, transgression, picked the fruit before its time. Outside of God's, go ahead, now you're ready. They weren't ready. They wanted to know good and evil and be judges. Got them in trouble. They lose the garden. They have kids. First son kills the younger son. First son who kills the younger son establishes human society. It's a kingdom of death. It's the evil of it is sometimes mitigated, sometimes restrained by the law. But it doesn't eradicate it. It's not an alternative. It's just a break. But there's always these promises. There's always these promises, these poet prophets, that the Spirit of God moved upon. They would see things. And they would say, someday. The strong lions won't eat the weak lambs. They'll live together peacefully. Someday war won't be the defining factor of human society. Someday we'll get beyond that. Turn implements of war into implements of agriculture and learn how to thrive and flourish together. Someday the knowledge of the glory of God will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Someday the minimum lifespan will be 100 years, Isaiah imagines. Someday, all that is harmful will be eradicated. Someday, even death will be conquered. God makes these promises through the prophets. The prophets don't know how. The prophets don't know when. But then there comes this day, this singular day. In Nazareth, when the baptized spirit-empowered Jesus returns home and he reads that Jubilee prophecy of Isaiah, and when all the eyes of the synagogue are upon him, he says, today is the day. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Why? Because Jesus is here in the power of the Spirit. And everywhere, and if people would just be drawn into his orbit. I mean, Jubilee just swirls around Jesus, just everywhere he goes, just swirling around. All you have to do is get in his orbit. Just be drawn into that. Drawn into that. And what do you find? Healing and amnesty and pardon and forgiveness and restoration and life. You're just drawn into that. And we still see, we don't see all of society change, but we know that in that orbit around Jesus, things are changing. And Jesus is saying yes to the Father, to all that he had. Yes! Lion laying down with lamb. Jesus, yes! Swords turned into pleasure. Yes, Jesus says. No harm in all of my holy mountain. Jesus says, yes. The lame shall leap like a deer, and the blind shall see. Jesus, yes. And then we're drawn in, and then we say, amen, amen, amen. We don't see it everywhere, but in the close orbit of Jesus, when he's saying yes, we say amen. And then we're baptized into that. And then we begin to carry that jubilee just in our own little sphere. We carry it with us. And that's how it grows. Slowly, quietly, like seed sown in the ground that grows up. By faith in Jesus, we receive Jubilee and we give Jubilee. Has anybody here received mercy and pardon from Jesus? Yes. Then you've got it, man. It's it. Now you've got it. Now give it. You've got it. Now give it. You've got it. Now give it. We receive mercy and so we give mercy. We receive pardon, so we offer pardon. We receive peace, so we become peacemakers. We receive restoration, and so we work for restoration. We receive healing, and we work for healing in the lives of others. We are contagions of Jubilee. We've caught Jubilee. We don't understand it all. We don't have all the details worked out. But we know who brings it. Because Jubilee is not a plan. Jubilee is not a year. Jubilee is now a person. His name is Jesus. And everybody said, amen. It is the year of the Lord's favor. Now, I mean, we'll say something in 2017 too, in 2018, in 2019. But I do like the idea of saying 2016 is the year of mercy. I mean, why not? I like that. I started saying that, and then I heard the Pope did too. All right. Same Holy Spirit. When we have an opportunity to get even, when we have an opportunity to settle the score and make that guy pay, all of a sudden we, whoop. It's Jubilee. Can't do that. We remember it's Jubilee. I mean, just think about that ancient Jubilee of Israel. You owe me $1,000. And I'm coming after you. And I'm taking you to court. And I'm going to garnish your wages. And all of a sudden, I hear the silver trumpet of Jubilee. I'm Yom Kippur. And I go, well, I guess not. It's canceled. I guess I'll just have to forgive and forget. So, you're in a situation in life right now in 2016 where you can get even, you can settle the score, you can make them pay. And you hear Jesus say, remember today, this is fulfilled. It's Jubilee. And you forgive. When we could be greedy, self-interested, and afraid that others will get what we think is ours, suddenly, oh, wait a minute, it's Jubilee. And everybody's, you know, getting blessed. everybody, whether they, quote, deserve it. A Christian should go, I don't know what that means. I don't understand that vocabulary. Deserve. Well, see, I got baptized and I don't remember what that means anymore. All I know is that God is good and He's good to all. When we could be mean and judgmental, critical and condemning, suddenly, I was just about to judge that guy. I was about to be mean to him. And then I remembered, like my silver trumpets, do you? It's Jubilee. And when is it Jubilee? There's only one day. There's only one day that it's Jubilee. Today. You say, what about tomorrow? Take no thought for the morrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. As long as it is called today, it is Jubilee. Jesus says yes, and we say amen. Man, I could just preach that right there. Hallelujah. As long as it is called today, it is Jubilee. Jesus says yes, and we say amen. Now, if it's not today, don't worry about it. You say, what about tomorrow? I don't know about tomorrow. Jesus says, I don't know about tomorrow. You don't know about tomorrow. Nobody knows about tomorrow. Come you who say tomorrow. What a silly thing to say. You don't know anything about tomorrow. You're not judged by what you do with tomorrow. It's today. Is it today? I got a little hint. It's always today. Just so you'll know. In that existential moment, it's today. As long as it is called today, it is Jubilee. Jesus says yes, and we say amen and seek to live our way into it. We say amen and then live our amen to Jesus and His Jubilee. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Jubilee! Now, if you're a little bit nervous because I used the illustration that somebody owes me $1,000 and all of a sudden the trumpet sounds and now they don't owe me, but what am I going to do with that $1,000? Well, don't forget that you owe this other guy like $10 billion. Oh, yeah, there's that thing too. So if your $10 billion debt has been canceled, don't worry about the $1,000 debt that you have to cancel. Because we're all in His Jubilee. Jesus says yes and we say amen. Stand up with me. And we're going to come to the Feast of Jubilee. That's what communion is. It's the Feast of Jubilee. Where Jesus is, there is Jubilee. It's not a time. It's not a year. It's only today and where Jesus is. Is Jesus here? Then it's Jubilee and we're going to have the feast. He is here. Communicating His Jubilee to us in bread and wine. And so we'll come to the table. They will offer you bread, the body of Christ broken for you. Take the bread. They'll offer the cup, the blood of Christ shed for you. Take the bread, dip in the cup, and taste and see God's goodness in Jubilee. Amen. And know that you're pardoned, that you're forgiven, that God is restoring to you your lost inheritance. Amen. Let's confess our sins and receive the gracious Jubilee pardon of the Father. And Jesus says yes, and we say amen. Pray with me. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against You in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved You with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of Your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in Your will and walk in Your ways to the glory of Your name. Amen. Amen.